WTMK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In Chicago, George Floyd's 2020 killing capped years of violence and discrimination by Minneapolis police. That, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. WCCO's Mark Fry has details.
The Justice Department's investigation found that the Minneapolis Police Department discriminated against Black and Native American people and often violated people's constitutional rights. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The patterns and practices we observed made what happened to George Floyd possible.
Among the long list of recommended changes, the DOJ recommends improving the department's use of force policy. Minneapolis and its police department have committed to a legally binding consent decree with independent oversight to both comply with federal law and build community trust. Mark Fry for CBS News, Minneapolis.
The man accused of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue in October 2018 has been convicted of 63 criminal counts, including hate crimes. Prosecutors refused the offer of a guilty plea from Robert Bowers in exchange for a life sentence. Jeff Finkelstein of the Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh.
I was outside of the Tree of Life building while he was still inside. So it's emotionally draining.
The sentencing penalty phase for Bowers begins next week. The FBI has arrested a Michigan teenager after they say he threatened to carry out a mass shooting at a synagogue in East Lansing. CBS's Linda Kenyon has the latest.
He's 19-year-old Sean Patrick Piatella, and he is charged with making threats on social media, threats that included comments about anti-Semitism and about neo-Nazi ideology. He also glorified the 2019 mosque shootings in New Zealand. That attack 5 years ago killed 51 people. The arrest represents the latest case of violent extremism in Michigan, which has drawn national attention since the FBI foiled a plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer in 2020. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
A deadly tornado flattens an area of Perryton, Texas. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Preliminary reports from the National Weather Service says this was an EF2 tornado. That means wind speeds of up to 135 miles an hour. You had metal and wood buildings that didn't stand a chance. Even brick buildings took a beating. There are debris piles all around. This small city took a big hit, and it could take months to rebuild.
Elon Musk sounds the alarm when it comes to artificial intelligence, saying that tech companies need to slow the development way down. He tells those at a tech show in Paris.
Well, I think there's a real danger for digital superintelligence having negative consequences. And so if we are not careful with creating artificial general intelligence, we could have potentially a catastrophic outcome.
This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. If you're trying to get out of town this weekend, there may be some delays. Jimmy Koska has the story.
Interstate 43 construction starts today, which will result in lane closures between North Avenue and Capitol Drive, impacting traffic in both directions. It's bridge and pavement work with lane closures in place until at least Labor Day.
8-year-old Colin Strieb of Waukesha and his 73-year-old grandfather are the two that died in the Watertown plane crash Wednesday. An online memorial is identifying the victims, with the boys' school also sending a letter to families. The annual Kenosha County Dairy Breakfast is this weekend, and there's more than just the meal on the plate. Kids can check out the animals and tractors on the Daniels Family Farm in Brighton.
We're serving from 6:30 to 10:30 in the morning, so get up bright and early for a great breakfast.
Heather Richter grew up on that farm and is on the Dairy Promotion Board. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
It's June Dairy Month. And though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Who's telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I got to tell you, heartbroken today. A story that my producer sent me just a little over an hour ago. Had today's program all square in my mind where I wanted to go, what I wanted to focus on. And he sends me this story from Southern Ohio. Evidently on Thursday, a 32-year-old man lined up his 3, 4, and 7-year-old sons. I can only imagine thinking, oh, it's a game. We're going to play a game out in the backyard. Come on, boys. Line up. Then in firing squad fashion, executes two of them. One of the boys runs off. He hunts the child down, drags him back, executes him too. And I... Lost for words. And this is, again, one of those moments where we you know, on Wednesday, Republicans, conservatives, or whatever we're going to call them these days, they would have called, this is a good guy with a gun. And today, thoughts and prayers. People are going, oh, gee, I don't know. What happened? What could have gone wrong with this good guy with a gun? And again, I have friends who tell me, no, Rick, it's not the guns. He would have killed these children. You know, yeah, absolutely. He would have done that. It's not the gun. It's the person. But the gun makes it a lot easier. And the culture in which we are now in, where this just happens so freaking always, and the anger that's being shoved down our throat, the constant outrage every moment. Now, look, I don't know what this guy's problem was. I don't know, and I'm not going to even begin to attempt to figure it out at this moment. But I got to tell you, this... we are in a society where outrage sells. Keeping people on the edge of you know, humanity's on the brink. There's no future. There's no hope. Save your children! I mean, I'm not generally an emotional person. I'm not, you know, I generally have very few emotions, but when it comes to kids, cause look, I got three of my own. My mind immediately went to my son who, you know, I got a picture of him hanging on the wall, you know, here at 3 years old. And I'm looking at that picture and I'm imagining the tragedy and what drives someone to do this. And I can't fathom that the outrage machine that's in our ear 24/7, 365 didn't play a part of this. And this is where my anger sometimes, and you know, this is an FCC program, so I can't go where my mind and my heart and my emotions want to take me in this moment. And now here's the thing, I'm not a death penalty person, but this coward should have had the courage to at least take himself. I mean, if this is a murderer, this is one of those things, and I hate that feeling. I hate that we're in this moment. I'm still an anti-death penalty person, and these are the moments that test that. But I sat down today and I was, you know, going through some of the news, and where I was going to start was with this idiot over on the F channel. Now look, I've never claimed to be the mayor of Wokistan. Never once. I've never claimed to be the most woke. I've never even claimed to be woke. But I am awake to the reality. My eyes are open to the clear hypocrisy of the outrage merchants who want to get me to hate people just because they dress differently or they love someone else or they do something that doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't fear that there are people at every turn trying to indoctrinate my children because I know my children. This is the bizarre world that we're being force-fed by outrage merchants who just, I don't know if it's the need for attention, I don't know if it's the need for ratings or for profit or what, but I see this stuff every minute of every single day for the last several years. And it is not helpful. It is not moving us in the right direction. It is not making us better. It's only making us worse. And the frustration of an idiot like this, and I don't know who, I honestly don't know her name. All I know is I came across this clip, and I wanted to, I got to play some of it. This is the thing that just gets me. She's going on about, there was a pride event at the White House. Everyone's seen the photographs. And we're going to talk about flags now, evidently. So here's this genius going on. Listen to this.
Entire thing, this entire virtue signal, appalling. And here's why. Listen to what your commander-in-chief, our commander-in-chief, said when he said to the activists they invited on the lawn, "You're some of the bravest and most inspiring people I've ever known. I swear to God," he said. "You set an example for the nation and, quite frankly, for the world." It is a flagrant violation of U.S. Flag Code Section 7.
Here we go. I can't take her anymore. I can't take it. I cannot take it. She's now going to lecture us about flag codes because, you know, there was no flag. There were flags all over the place. She's going on this outrage merchant machine and saying, look, this wasn't there, without looking at the actual building where the flag is center, is the highest point. It's exactly what she's complaining about. It's done. Now, these are people who, you know, if you remember on January 6th, I didn't hear this idiot running on about how, you know, people were beating policemen with flag poles with flags on them. Didn't hear anything about the flag code there. But it's this kind of stuff. It's this kind of stuff that's designed to get us all riled up, to get us to hate each other. Well, look at those people I don't agree with. They're desecrating the flag by making it a rainbow. But what about the folks on the other side who the Blue Lives Matter? We got a blue flag now. If you're truly going to be on the, we got to follow the flag code, maybe you should know what it is, and maybe we should. But this isn't about the flag. It's not about the pride people. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about selling outrage. It's about getting people to hate each other. It's about getting people to hate themselves. I mean, the F channel's been doing this for years. This is not new. I mean, I go back to the Obama years and the tan suit. What was it? The curtains that they had. Those are all Islamic terror rugs or whatever. And those curtains had been there for decades. And this idiotic, oh, there's a war on Christmas every year. All of these tropes they keep throwing at us for one reason: to keep us hating each other, to keep us divided, red hat, blue hat. And look, the other side doesn't do themselves any favors by going to the extreme of the extreme either. But we're in this moment, folks, where the sane and the rational, the good, decent people of this country who are tired of waking up day after day after day to the news of dead children. At some point, don't we have to be better? Now look, it's all a sham. It's always been a sham. It's always been political theater. And the story that broke today is that today is a perfect day for this. Because as I've said, all of this outrage, it's manufactured. It's all to get you all riled up and bunched up and wadded up in the panties so that you'll keep watching. You'll buy their crummy products and you'll tune in again tomorrow for your quick fix or your double dose or your daily gorging of outrage. But here's a shocker of all shocker stories. Who could have possibly guessed that back in 2012, when the dear leader himself, Donald Trump, the owner of the Miss Universe pageant, praised a transgender person who competed, praised and welcomed the inclusiveness of having a transgender woman. In fact, the woman who won, evidently, actually he praised profusely for having the courage to allow transgender women to compete. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Because everything that they do, they're on all sides of. It's the latest outrage. It's what's going to get to you and your pocketbook. And this is why I'm begging people, turn off that poison. Talk to a neighbor. Go find somebody you disagree with. Have a conversation. Because the rhetoric, the anger, the hatred, it's too hot. I don't know what makes a 32-year-old man line up his three small children and execute them. I don't. But I know this stuff doesn't help. And I'll tell you, I am heartbroken. And I don't say that easily. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I got to take a break. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Chris Christie must be listening to the show. And I was glad to see this the other day. Honestly, I was glad to see Chris Christie come out and go after Jared Kushner. It's something I've been talking about for, since they left the White House, since this story broke. Chris Christie came out and said, "Let me tell you something, everybody. The grift in this family is breathtaking. says it's breathtaking. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner walked out of the White House, and 2 months later, they get $2 billion from the Saudis. Now, remember, we've been talking about this for a while. I am shocked that it's gotten some attention from our Republican friends. He says, do you think this is some kind of investment? He's some kind of investment genius? Or do you think it's because he was sitting next to the president of the United States for 4 years doing favors for the Saudis? And look, the reality is, as I said, you know, from the beginning, 6 months after Kush is gone, I think it was something like that. A couple months after that, he leaves the White House. Sweetheart windfall. $2 billion appears out of the blue just because he's a nice guy. Got a good smile, although he looks like a wood puppet. But you know, never mind. Never mind the fact that Kush, you know, personally shepherded through, what was it, $110 billion arms deal to the Saudis? Never mind that. No. There's no quid pro quo. Nothing to see. That the biggest arms deal ever. Never. Nothing to see. Don't worry about it. Don't look. Shh. Focus on Joe Biden. This is the weird world that we're in. And understand, you know, you go, okay, well, Jared Kushner's a wonder kid. You know, he's on Wall Street. The committee that oversees the funding in Saudi Arabia said, no, bad. Don't, no. And they were all overruled. Now, what they were saying is his firm, his company, unsatisfactory in all aspects. That's the official reporting. Unsatisfactory in all aspects. And those folks were overthrown. Those folks were overruled by who? Mr. Bonesaw. Mohammed bin Salman, Mr. Bonesaw. And you go, explain how Mr. Bonesaw gives $2 billion in, you know, in Kush money. When I first saw this story, my mind went to a whole bunch of places because, as we know about Mr. Bonesaw, they murdered a Washington Post journalist, Jamal Khashoggi. And it got me thinking, you know, what was he investigating? What was it that he was looking into? What did he have his finger on? What was his nose sniffing on that got him dismembered and carried out of a Turkish embassy, an embassy in Turkey, in bags? What was he looking into? And we don't obviously know, but I got to assume Mr. Bonesaw was at the center of it. And I got to think some of the relationship with the U.S. and the former guy got to have something to do with it. But we're going to focus on all kinds of other nonsense. I mean, I'm listening to what the Republicans are bringing me right now, and it's garbage. And this is one of those moments, folks. You know, I know honest conservatives. I don't see any anymore. I know people who were Reaganites, who believed in those principles. These aren't them. These aren't the Eisenhower Republicans. These aren't even Nixon Republicans for all the criming he did. I don't know what these people are, but I watch what they do, the Ted Cruzes of the world, who, you know, I understand spin. Look, sitting in this chair doing my political commentary, you know, watching the game of politics play out before us, I get the idea of spin. I get that. Spin used to be things are 90% true. You find your 10% where you can nibble around the edges. That seems to have been flipped completely up on its end, where maybe there's a kernel of truth somewhere, and 90% of it's BS. Joe Biden got a $10 million payoff, but the guy who was there who did it died, or we lost track of him. But we know he did it. Stuff's there. I mean, how crazy of a time are we in? And look, it's because our media culture is so just in the tank. They're just so looking for that. It's about the money, man. I go back to Rupert Murdoch. It's not about red or blue. It's about green. And this is where, you know, we as working people, we've got to be looking at this and going, you're right. It's not about red or blue. It is about green. It's about the green that we're getting robbed out of every day. You know, policies during the pandemic could have gone a lot differently if we had a government of for and by we the people. Now, at the beginning, I was in favor of the shutdowns. I was in favor of, okay, let's calm things down. Let's get a handle on this. Let's find out where what things are, how we deal with it. At the very beginning, I was in favor of it. Because it made sense. We didn't know what we were dealing with yet. Made sense. But now you got this looking back and armchair quarterback, and I can armchair too because I was saying it at the time. Why don't we have better policies to ensure that families don't get screwed, that small businesses don't get eviscerated? Why is it that the corporations and the billionaires are the ones who are making out? And we look back on it, $4 trillion in wealth lost by working class people. Oddly enough, $4 trillion in wealth gained by the 1%. Shocking. But not if you understand that government decides who gets what. And right now, our government is not working for we the people. Now, I think Joe Biden's trying. I give Joe Biden credit. Look, there are policies of the past or things he's done in the past, wasn't thrilled with. Right now, he's trying to move us in a direction to get back on a reasonable track, breaking up some of those neoliberal policies of the past. We've got work to do, folks. Reshoring manufacturing, investing in infrastructure, investing in the future of this country, which we desperately need. But we can't because we're fighting each other over red team and blue team. And, you know, I had this conversation today. I said, you know, Republicans would have said this guy with the gun was a good guy with a gun. Well, you know, they're not all Republicans. There's one or two. And I said, well, conservatives. Well, I don't know what a conservative is anymore. And this is where we are. Because true conservatives, they wouldn't be tearing down institutions. True conservatives wouldn't be calling for anarchy. And we've got an education problem in this country. I had a caller yesterday who told me that the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, gives us the right to burn down our government. It gives us the right. And, you know, after the show, I sat and I'm going, the level of not understanding history there is frightening. Because if you remember from your eighth grade U.S. history course, the U.S. Constitution was born out of the weakness of the Articles of Confederation, which came out of Shay's rebellion and our inability to put down insurrection. It's the whole reason we wrote the Constitution, for a more strengthened centralized government that had more powers. And yet it is a struggle on a daily basis to look at the just enormous amount of, I did my research, I got my YouTube video. I was just watching, scrolling through some of these videos because I'm trying to keep up with what people are saying. The guy calls these TikTok videos now, they're not entertainment anymore. They're not just a waste of time to watch cat videos or spew or spout or whatever. It's micro learning. Yeah. You don't need any context. You don't need understanding. We're going to give you 13 seconds of a fact, and that's going to be your basis of understanding. That is frightening to me. You know, it's one of those things Ronald Reagan always said, you know, the other side, they know so much that just isn't. Yeah. When you tell me that the Constitution was written so that we could water the tree of liberty with the blood of tyrants and patriots, even though I don't believe those words were ever uttered. I believe he said refresh. That's a whole different connotation than water, but I digress. It comes back to the point. The point that people who use this heated rhetoric want, the people who use this kind of inflammatory rhetoric, what they want, what the outrage merchants want, is us to hate each other, is us to tear each other apart, is us to continue to be at each other's throats so that we don't realize that our futures are being taken from us. Our children's futures are being taken from us. And for what? so a handful can have more, so corporate America can have more, so the elite in this country can have more. You know, the Jay Gould quote, whether he said it or not, accurate. They can pay half the working class to murder the other half, and I'll tell you, they're not even paying anymore because we're doing it to ourselves. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1918. That was the day Eugene V. Debs, leader of the Socialist Party, gave his legendary anti-war speech in Canton, Ohio. The speech, for which he would eventually be arrested, tried, and convicted under the Espionage Act. Though he avoided explicitly criticizing World War I or President Wilson, he made clear his views. He gave the speech at a park near the jail where Charles Baker, Charles Rutenberg, and Alfred Wegenecht, three prominent socialists, were being held on Espionage Act-related charges. Debs noted, quote, "It is extremely dangerous to exercise the constitutional right of free speech in a country fighting to make democracy safe in the world." Debs was defiant. He unloaded his rage against the judicial system and the conviction of socialist leader Kate Richards O'Hare for her anti-war views. He railed against the suppression of Max Eastman's socialist press and the ongoing persecution of socialists Tom Mooney and William Billings. Debs briefly reviewed the history of wars in Europe and made the following observation, saying, quote, "The masterclass has always taught and trained you to believe it is your patriotic duty to go to war and to have yourselves slaughtered at their command. But in all the history of the world, you, the people, have never had a voice in declaring war. The working class who fight all the battles, the working class who make the supreme sacrifices, the working class who freely shed their blood and furnish the corpses, have never yet had a voice in declaring war or making peace." For this, he was convicted of advocating disloyalty and draft resistance and sentenced to 10 years in prison. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
Hundreds of thousands left their homes. Evacuations are credited for saving lives as the extreme weather continues to disrupt them.
Powerful cyclone Moka causes widespread destruction in Myanmar. It'll cost $30 billion to clean up abandoned oil and gas wells in the Gulf of Mexico alone. Plus,
we make a major step forward in the climate crisis, protecting public health.
Biden EPA unveils new rules to clean up carbon pollution from the nation's power plants.
All of those new rules and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
All across the country, you are sounding the alarm, demanding action, and sparking a global movement to address the urgency of the climate crisis.
Thank you for noticing, EPA Administrator Michael Regan. You're doing a good job, too. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, big news here in the U.S. when it comes to power plants, but yeah, still big bad climate problems across the globe.
Yes, indeed. Tropical cyclone Moka struck Myanmar and Bangladesh on Sunday, just shy of a Category 5 storm, killing six and injuring hundreds. Aid workers are struggling to reach areas devastated by widespread flooding and landslides, with electricity and communications cut off. Hundreds of Rohingya refugee shelters were destroyed. Cyclone Moka is the latest storm to intensify rapidly right before landfall due to unusually warm ocean waters. Scientists say rapid intensification of storms has become more common worldwide, increasing in both frequency and magnitude due to man-made global warming.
Yeah, we're seeing a whole lot of that year after year after year now.
April 2023 was the fourth hottest April ever recorded.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said, the outrage merchants, they want us angry about everything. And I love the fact that this crazy woman on the F channel, who clearly just appalled that there was a flag on the top of the White House and there was a rainbow flag somewhere near there. She was just appalled. You know, she needed her daily outrage. I love the fact that they brought up the flag code because it's something that I've been complaining about for a while, because as a kid, I learned about it because we used to go out to the flagpole and we would raise the flag and we would do all the things that you do, you know, sing the national anthem and, you know, all of that. But to hear her now, after January 6th, now take this high ground just got me thinking. And that's why I've asked my good friend Rich Ojeda to come talk with us. Rich is the founder and national spokesperson for Turn Left Pack, turnleftpack.org, their website. He also hosts Ojeda Live, a nightly Facebook and YouTube live show that I highly suggest you check out. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Always a pleasure. Hey, and let me just say this, because we're talking about flags. You know, I will never forget the feeling that I had in the bottom of my stomach when I watched those jackaloons, when they were climbing all over our Capitol, when they struck the national flag from our Capitol and replaced it with a Trump rag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sickened me. Absolutely sickened me.
But again, it's convenient to forget that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, they don't. I guarantee you all of them have already forgot it.
So in looking at this, and this is one of these moments, you've got this woman who just, you know, she went on this multi-minute screed about how, you know, how horrible Joe Biden is, how an American brought in a quote from a senator to say just how un-American they are with their virtue signaling. And they did the right thing. The flag was in the right place. I mean, the whole bit of outrage was, well, manufactured. It wasn't accurate. And this is where I get my problems with my friends on the right. They kind of make stuff up a little bit.
It's selective outrage. That's what it is. You know, they nitpick what they want to be angered about and, you know, what they want to throw, you know, towards, you know, President Biden, who, by the way, is on the verge of having probably one of the most successful presidential, you know, 4 years of any other president.
Yep.
So, you know, but it's selective outrage. They're trying to figure out what they, you know, can be angered about. You know, I would think that maybe you'd be a little angered about classified documents sitting in a bathroom next to a toilet, or classified documents sitting in a room that's got a printer right across from it, classified documents sitting in the ballroom where a person had his face blackened out so he could take a photograph with all the documents in front of him. To me, that is something that is worthy of outrage, but they seem to be awful quiet about that. Let's nitpick a flag and let's look away at any other thing that Donald Trump has been caught doing. I mean, that's where we're at. And these people, they are the poorly educated, and they prove that every time they open their mouth. We had a guy the other day that was being interviewed while Trump was being arraigned who didn't know the difference. And he said he was a 19-year federal officer. He didn't know the difference between indoctrinated and indicted. So, yeah, you're a liar. 19 years federal agent, liar. He's a daggone stolen valor guy. That's a guarantee.
I love those on-the-spot things. And look, you know, sometimes you go, okay, maybe I wouldn't have got it. But the difference between indicted and indoctrinated, there's a world of difference there.
Yeah, that's a 180. I mean, you know, but that's the thing is that, you know, these people, this is the problem. And we have legislators across the country that are attacking education.
Yeah.
And if anybody right now can't see that what is the most dangerous thing that we are facing today is we are raising people and we're not educating them whatsoever. And these are the people that think that they know everything and they don't know nothing. They're dangerous. And now Donald Trump has a voting block that is absolutely poorly educated, and they fall for everything. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, they believe in Q. I mean, how they've even elected people. Marge the train wreck Green was elected by a bunch of dumb people who think the same way she thinks. I mean, it's embarrassing, but that's reality.
No, this comes back to, I argue, this comes back to the fact that the left never engaged in talk radio, never really got a media environment where they were able to at least balance. Back in the old days, the idea was we believed in more speech. We wanted more people speaking out. We wanted more people talking. We wanted to be in the public square. But as we continue to separate into red team, blue team, we stop. And this is a problem, not just on the red side, but also on the blue side as well, Rich.
Oh, look, at the end of the day, everybody needs to be more aware of what's going on around them. And, you know, once again, there's people on both sides that are wrong. But, I mean, it's embarrassing when we, you know, you watch these people go to these rallies and they interview these people. And the truth is those people are not bad people. They're just duped. They're easily duped. You know, I sit and listen to a woman the other day. Here's the thing. You know, you want to sit here and they want to scream, Joe Biden can barely walk and chew bubble gum. And then the next thing they're screaming, he's mastermind this whole plan to take Donald Trump down. So which is he? Is he a bumbling idiot that can't walk and chew gum? Or is he a mastermind that is doing all these things? Because you don't get to have both.
Well, that's his genius, Rich.
They don't see it like that.
That's his genius, Rich. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. I listened to two women the other night talking about how Donald Trump is in charge of the military and Joe Biden actually has passed away. And there's the guy that's acting as Joe Biden. And you sit here and you listen to this and you think, how could people be so stupid? And then you realize these are people. Yeah. These aren't 13-year-old kids that haven't learned anything. These are adults.
Yeah, but Rich, these folks have always been with us. They've always been with us. It's just that now they've got the internet and now Donald they can find Trump, each other.
Yeah. Donald Trump convinced the poorly educated that he was the one. And that's where we're at right now. And, you know, I believe that people are waking up. I believe that the Koch Foundation has now turned their back on Donald Trump. I think that the primary for the Republican Party is going to be nasty, nasty. And look, I hope Donald Trump gets to run from his jail cell, because at the end of the day, I don't think if it's Donald Trump against Joe Biden, we get four more years. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think, you know, Joe Biden has already cut the deficit by $1.5 trillion. Let's give him another 5.5 years. Let's see, he can cut that by $6 trillion. I'm all about that.
Well, I don't care about the deficits and the debt that much. I think we do have to pay our bills back. I care about an economy that's working for working people, where kids aren't going to bed hungry, where veterans aren't living on the streets and homeless and not getting the care that they need. I want effective government. I want to fund that. I want to make sure that we take care of the needs of our people first. Then we can talk about that other stuff. But for me,
I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, I mean, right now the Republicans are putting in the crosshairs school lunches, free lunches for kids. You know, I mean, this is the type of people that they are. You know, they will go after the elderly. They will go after the children. They will go after the sick. I mean, you know, we deserve so much better.
Yeah.
And look, I got it. You know, there's some Democrats out there that aren't exactly, you know, I don't exactly agree with wholeheartedly. But I'm going to tell you, as a whole, I support the Democratic Party wholeheartedly. And I hope that we don't have a bunch of, you know, me and Andrew Yang are friends, but right now I want to see, you know, Trumpism defeated, and I don't want to see somebody try to jump up and cut the votes.
Yeah, well, you know, I can say the same about Joe Walsh. We're buddies now. Never have been in the past, but let's quick go to the phones and get a thought. What's your name and what's on your mind?
Yeah, am I up?
Yep, go ahead. What's on your mind?
DJ from, hey, Rick. I am a Republican, and the hypocrisy that you say and your last caller that we're hiding secrets, I'm worried about this president. You've never spoke about the spy facility now in Cuba.
I can't hear him.
You never spoke about the spy balloons. You never speak about...
Evidently, you haven't listened. I've already talked about this stuff.
When? You are a hypocrite.
All right. Well, you got your thoughts. Thanks, brother. But here's the thing. I've been called a hypocrite, and that's not the first time I've been called a hypocrite. I'm not getting into all these right-wing conspiracy theories because, again, no one's brought this in front of the people with robes on. No one's done those things. So when it comes, we'll talk about it. But, you know, Rich, here's the thing, and this is what gets me. We look at all the conspiracies that are being thrown out. Joe Biden took millions of dollars and all the Hunter Biden stuff. This, again, back to dividing us and tearing us apart.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's that to them. That's the only way that they can, you know, get an opportunity to try to seize power. That's it. They want everybody at each other's throats. You know, they are attacking education across this country. We now have states that are refusing to teach real history. I mean, look, we're in a world of hurt, and I'm going to tell you that I am hoping that we not only retain the presidency, I want us to we got to take back the House.
Yeah.
You know, and I will tell you that recently there was a gerrymandered map, and I forget the state, but the Supreme Court threw it out. And by throwing that out, it actually made it to where like five seats are now leaning towards going Democrat. I'm hoping that we can take back the House. I'm hoping that we can increase the Senate. I don't think Joe Manchin is going to win his reelection. And at the end of the day, I don't care, because whether it's Joe Manchin or whether it's Jim Justice, Joe Manchin don't do anything for the people. Joe Manchin does for Joe Manchin and Joe Manchin's family. But I'm hoping that we can increase in the Senate, because I do believe we're going to lose that seat. And at the end of the day, I don't care, because I despise Joe Manchin.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Rich Ojeda. Rich is the national spokesperson for the Turn Left Pact. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that, turnleftpact.org, the website. He's also the host of Ojeda Live. You can check that every weeknight on Facebook and on YouTube. You know, here's the thing, and I go back to where we are. Do you think there's a way of bringing people back together? We hear that this idea, we want to unite. But there's so much thrown out. Like, you know, I just had the guy call and say, you never talk about, you know, I was waiting for chemtrails. They throw these conspiracies out that can never be solved just so we can be at each other's throats.
Yeah.
Do you think
the problem is we've got a lot of people that fall for conspiracy theories. First and foremost, you know, no matter what somebody tries to push you, it's always better for you before you start, you know, getting behind something. Do a little research yourself, do a little reading, you know, and find out, because a lot of this stuff is just that, it's conspiracy theories. And in some cases, it's absolutely just idiotic for people to fall for these things.
Cause we talked about the Chinese spy balloons right at the very beginning, you know, very, very, very quickly. I personally would have shot them down over Alaska, but that's just me. Then the other part of me said, hey, look, I had some military people say, hey, look, you know, you follow this stuff. You see what they're looking at. You gain information. There's a lot of thought into this, and we talked about that. And when he shot it, Biden shot it down. Okay, fine. Now they're going after him for shooting it down. I mean,
And at the end of the day, you know, I'll tell you right now, if anybody says that we should allow it to just go ahead and float over the United States of America and continue gathering data, I say that's garbage. And once again, like you said, it doesn't matter. If Joe Biden doesn't do it, they're going to scream at him. If he does it, they're going to scream at him. So best thing is Joe Biden just does what's right. And I think he's doing what's right. I think he's doing amazing things. I think that he is the jobs president. 13 million jobs have been created under his watch. His first 2 years legislatively have been the most beneficial 2 years in terms of legislation in our country's history. So I think he's doing a phenomenal job, and I hope he gets another 4 years.
Lastly, I want to get your thoughts on this. Evidently, the White House is working on an executive order to restrict U.S. investment in China that could have something to do with national security. There's concern that U.S. investors are going to spend money in China, on AI stuff and on stuff that's going to be used against us. And interestingly enough, you've got Republicans who are talking about blocking it.
Well, I mean, I would lean towards blocking it if it's going to be used against us. That's just my thoughts.
No, they're talking about blocking. They're trying to undo what Biden wants to do in blocking the investment. At some point, it's about damn time we start looking at how much we're investing in our own demise.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, it appalls me when I find out that, you know, China owns large swaths of land in the United States of America. I disagree.
I'm with you. But, Rich, I appreciate the time, as always. Good talking with you. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to seeing what you guys do here with the Turn Left Pack. I hope folks will take a look at it, turnleftpack.org. Rich Ojeda, national spokesperson and founder. Also, make sure you check out Ojeda Live weeknights on Facebook and YouTube. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you. Anytime.
Our good friend Rich Ojeda. I want to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
Phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1836. That was the day that the London Working Men's Association was founded. Skilled craftsmen started the organization. William Lovett, a cabinet maker, and a publisher by the name of Henry Hetherington were two of the original founders. Their aim was to promote the rights of the working class. 2 years later, the group drafted the People's Charter. The document outlined a demand for 6 reforms aimed at making the government more inclusive of the working class. One reform was universal suffrage for all males over the age of 21. Another was ending the requirement that members of parliament hold property, which excluded most British people from standing for elections. The charter also called for the establishment of fairer parliamentary electoral districts, holding of annual elections, and allowing for a secret or anonymous ballot. The final item was payment for those elected to parliament. Since it was an unpaid office, people who could not afford to go without a salary were practically shut out of running. Those who supported these measures came to be known as Chartists. The movement grew and garnered support. More than 1 million people signed a petition for the charter. Parliament, however, ignored the petition, but the movement continued to grow. It inspired newspapers, rallies, and even poetry. One poem published in 1841 included the lines, "'Tis the voice of the people I hear on high. It peals o'er the mountain, it soars to the sky. Its shock, like the earthquake, shall fill with dismay the hearts of the tyrants and sweep them away." Chartism as a movement lasted for 2 decades. But it was not until 1918 that all British men won the right to vote.
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So apparently, I love these. I get emails all the time from these think tanks, especially right-wing think tanks, pitching their ideas. But apparently this Pacific Research Institute, they've said that they're a nonpartisan group. They've got a brand spanking new study out that says that California is going to fall 21% short of its electricity requirements to meet the EV mandates that are coming up. And look, that's probably true. There could be some truth in this. I'm not quite sure how they came up with the numbers. Looked at the study, looked a little gamey. But, you know, this according to them, if we're going to meet the standards, California's going to have to expand its annual additional renewable energy by a whopping 86% to meet these green deadlines, according to the email. And I'm going, okay, that seems a lot. Maybe we should get working on that, you know, because understand, I think we can get where we need to get if we had the will. You know, as much as I'm not an Elon Musk fan, but he's been running around saying, you know, a little bit of Nevada, a little bit of Arizona, a couple of corners of these desert states, we fill it with solar panels. We could power the entire country. But that's not what the oil industry wants. That's not what the gas industry wants. And look, will oil and gas go away? No, we're still going to need it. The idea is that you slow the dependency on it and that you use the stuff that comes out of the sky. You know, just a thought. You know, we do have a couple of states that have some, you know, some sun. and it's kind of arid, and it's kind of, well, useless land. We could put a roof over it. I look at what they're doing in the Netherlands. The story yesterday came out that the last windmill in what is being called the largest offshore wind farm in operation just completed. This is going to be a 1.5 gigawatt wind farm. And, you know, my mind went, you know, how much is a gigawatt? It's a billion watts, Rick. Yeah, I know that, but what does that mean? What does a billion megawatts mean? And I checked the Department of Energy's website, and they said, and it reminded me of the Back to the Future 2 movie, where Doc and Marty McFly need to get back to the future, and how they needed 1.21 gigawatts of power to travel through time. Well, the Netherlands, now they have a 1.5 gigawatt wind farm to get them back in time. Also, they're saying that a gigawatt is 3,125,000 photovoltaic panels, 100 million LEDs, roughly 1.3 million horses. I'm not sure how that equates, but it seems large. And 2,000 Corvette Z06s. That sounds like a lot of power. Now, this is a public-private partnership that they've done there. These companies, Siemens Gamesa, which, you know, in Pennsylvania we had Gamesa. They had a production facility here. Our investment wasn't there. It closed. And look, I went through Iowa, and I got to tell you, wow, I was shocked at the number of windmills. I was also shocked at the number of places where they could have put more windmills. We've got opportunities if we just get our heads out of our behinds. And again, we're dug in. You know, I know people on both sides. No, we got to go to wind and solar and geothermal, and that's it. And people, no, I want my gas. And you go, you know, at some point the transition is going to happen. We may get eventually to the wind and the solar and to what's next. I don't even know what's next. But I know gas isn't going anywhere for a while. Our economy is not set up yet for that, and the transition is going to be a struggle. But there are opportunities here, and this is where, as a jobs guy, you go, as an economy guy, as someone who it's about the economy, stupid, and how I don't get bogged down in a lot of conspiracy, and how I don't get bogged down in fringe stuff. I want to know how we can put food on the table. How are you going to make sure your kids are going to be okay? How are we going to create a world where we want to bring children in instead of forcing people? This is how we do it, with jobs, with good jobs, good union jobs. You know, Ronald Reagan always said the best anti-poverty program is a job. I have amended that to say a good union job, one with health care, one with retirement security, one with advancement opportunities. And this is our moment. We're in a transitional moment in the history of humanity, with what's going to happen with AI, what's going to happen with robotics, what's going to happen with energy. And I think people are frustrated. They're angry because we don't have leaders that any of us believe are capable of navigating these waters. We don't have leaders who have a vision or are articulating a vision of where we go and how we... I argue we're already decades behind some of this stuff. And when we just argue for the sake of arguing. You know, I got people on social media all the time who... It's just about trolling. It's just about I win, you lose. You know what happens when I win, you lose? Eventually we both lose. Because now I got to come back. No, you got to lose. No, you got. And what happens? Again, the rich and powerful continue to maintain their rich and powerful status. And this is my frustration in this moment. I'm a working class guy. I want to know how we're gonna make tomorrow better. For me, it's all about how we move forward. And yet we've got a system right now set up on nope, can't do that. We got a system set up on how to tear each other apart. And as I've been saying, you know, I've been doing more since the pandemic has been over, or it's not really over, but since we're moving away from it, I've been doing more to talk to people.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.